OEMs. OEMs are busy designing advanced internal combustion engines. And this is really great for our industry. It's great for the ethanol industry because with advanced internal combustion engines, the high-octane properties of ethanol will certainly fall into that. And when I think of advanced internal combustion engines, I would like for you to please give a warm welcome to Dr. Andrew Randolph, who is the world's leader in advanced internal combustion engines. Let's give Dr. Randolph a warm welcome to the 19th Annual Renewable Energy Conference, please. Andy?
It's quite an honor to be here, and I'm impressed by the number of attendees at this conference. Never been anything like this, and honored to be here participating. My goal today is twofold. One, to relay the experiences in NASCAR with E15 fuel over the last few years, and then also in the process to dispel a couple of myths that we had to encounter along the way. First, to give you a little background on ECR engines. ECR develops and manufactures high-performance Chevy racing engines for NASCAR and other sanctioning bodies. It's in Welcome, North Carolina, consists of 125 enthusiasts producing over 600 engines annually. ECR powered cars have won over 300 races and over 15 championships. And I'm proud to stand up here and say that 3 days ago, ECR engines won the pole position for the Daytona 500. It's coming up this weekend, and also the second place starting position on the front row. You probably recognize the three car, the iconic three car driven by Dale Earnhardt for many years, now driven by Richard Childress' grandson, along with several of the other cars which we power. Give you a little background on the engine we use at the cup level. It's a 5.8-liter small-block Chevy-based engine producing over 850 horsepower at 9,200 RPM. It's highly dependent on favorable fuel and lubricant properties, and it undergoes, in this type of environment, extreme internal forces. I have a little video to give you a feeling for that.
316 PSI at the block and 105 in the tank.
Whoa. That's a bad day when that happens. As you can imagine, if there are issues with fuel properties or lubricant properties and running in an environment like that, those issues come to light very quickly. For many years, the NASCAR spec fuel was a leaded aviation fuel, 112 pump octane number. In 2008, NASCAR adopted unleaded fuel, which is a 98 pump octane. This octane was achieved by greater than a 40% aromatic concentration in the fuel. So what happened was in the lead era, we deal with fuel every day. We touch it. We virtually swim in it. We get it all over our bodies, and we weren't too fond of dealing with a toxic poison on our skin every day. So at first, we were excited about the prospect of moving to unleaded fuel, but then come to find out that the aromatic concentration of the fuel was extremely high, and the vast majority of those aromatics are carcinogenic, so that we substituted one health risk for another. Fortunately, in 2011, NASCAR changed to E15 fuel, which still retained the 98 pump octane rating. The ethanol content enabled achieving the required octane now with less than 20% aromatics in the fuel. So not only did we improve the health, we improved the health status of the fuel, the health characteristics of the fuel, at the same time while retaining the combustion and octane properties of the fuel. The major concern initially was water contamination, which proved to be a non-issue, and one of the ways I satisfied myself for that was just doing a couple of simple bench tests. Now this, you're probably having a hard time telling, this isn't a Hollywood production. This is a mobile phone production on a bench in the workshop. But what we got here is 1,200 cc's of Sunoco Green E15 fuel, which is what we currently race. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add 9 cc's of water to the fuel. You can see the water being added now. As it's added, it just sinks to the bottom of the beaker because it's more dense to the fuel. Certainly, if you get same thing happens in your fuel tank. If you get water in the fuel tank, the water will go to the bottom of the tank. Now we're going to stir, agitate the mixture, and see what happens. I know what's going to happen pretty soon. I've seen this video before. The video at one time had me speaking in it, but I thought it would be funner if I talked to you while it played. Okay, so here we're stirring the mixture. As you can see, as you start to agitate the mixture, it gets sort of a translucent, almost opaque look to it as the water is mixing in the fuel. And as we continue to stir, it's almost like a magic trick what happens. Watch how the translucent nature of the fuel goes away. We get back to a clear appearance of the fuel. The fuel actually has identical combustion characteristics to what it did when we started. And the water has been totally absorbed. Now we're going to repeat that same experiment. This is with our previous fuel, which is a 98-octane, essentially a premium pump fuel. So once again, 1,200 cc's of fuel. We're going to add 9 cc's of water. It's coming, I promise. There we go. As before, the water just sinks to the bottom of the beaker. Now we'll reach in and agitate the mixture. And we're going to stir. You see, in this case, the fuel doesn't get that translucent appearance anymore. We'll just keep on stirring. You can see the water just kind of hanging down there, down in the bottom of the beaker. And we can just keep on stirring and stirring, and we can get tired arm from stirring. And no matter how much we stir, that water's not going anywhere. It's going to sit right down there on the bottom of the beaker. So when you think about the term phase separation, you know, if you get water in an ethanol gasoline blend, there is some absorption of the water into the fuel that happens before there is any phase separation in the fuel. If you get water into a gasoline fuel, then phase separation occurs immediately. There's virtually zero solubility of water in the fuel, such that if that water's in the bottom of your tank and gets ingested into the engine, the combustion process doesn't work very well anymore. So we heard doomsday claims about the impact of ethanol. It didn't really add up with my personal experiences as a grad student working on ethanol gasoline blends. Plus, just rationally, if you look back and just look out and realize that there's hundreds of millions of vehicles that have crewed over a trillion miles with E10, it helped us realize immediately that the claims didn't make sense from a fundamental engineering perspective. And also kind of found it interesting, or if you look at the MSDS sheets on the vast majority of fuel additives out there for treating gasoline alcohol blends and the evils of those blends, you learn that those fuel additives contained alcohol. So summarizing, the NASCAR experience with E15 fuel has been that the conversion to E15 was seamless. We performed zero base engine design modifications to accompany the fuel. Engine power increased slightly. Burn rate, or the spark time of the engines, was not impacted. Our post-race piston hardness increased. It provided more cooling than previous fuels without ethanol, which is what helped us achieve those harder piston ratings. Our deposit buildup was reduced because of the oxygenating characteristics of the fuel. E15 is less prone to carbon formation on combustion, chamber surfaces, and in exhaust ports. More than 15 million miles have been accrued in race conditions in NASCAR with zero mechanical issues attributed to E15. And we have tested up to 30% ethanol, and those tests have also been successfully performed without incident. That's it. Thank you all very much. Enjoy your conference.